So we're going to read Luke chapter 19, verses 28 to 40. Jesus comes to Jerusalem as king. After Jesus had said this, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. As he approached Bethpage and Bethany at the hill called Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you why you are untying it, say the Lord needs it." Those who were sent ahead of him found it just as he had told them. As they were untying a colt, its owners asked them, "Why are you untying my colt?" They replied, "The Lord needs it." They brought it to Jesus, threw their cloaks on the colt, and put Jesus on it. As he went along, people spread their cloaks on the road. When he came near the place where the road goes down the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles they had seen. "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest." Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." "I tell you," he replied, "if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out."
So thanks for that reading. Please keep your Bibles open, or if you haven't got it yet, grab a Bible, and we're going to just look into that particular passage and Luke's version of the story of Jesus riding into Jerusalem on that, what we now know as Palm Sunday. But I wonder what you've been feeling these last couple of weeks. I'm guessing that, like me, you've been through a whole roller coaster of emotions, perhaps from stoic acceptance and resilience to maybe even some doubt and perhaps some despair as the routines have changed for you. Well, as a conclusion to our series, When, I want to talk about joy today. You might not be feeling a whole lot of joy right now. Homeschooling, wonder how that's gone this week. Maybe you're working in some challenging environments, or work patterns have changed as well. Or maybe you're not working now because you're on furlough, or the job has completely changed. Some of you working at home. Perhaps you've had additional health challenges this week, maybe for yourself or for someone you know. Maybe you've got concerns for future finances as well, given all the changes going on. So how can you find joy at this time when everything seems to be shaking around us? Well, I think first of all we need to understand that joy and happiness are wonderful feelings to experience, but they are very, very different. So I was very happy last Saturday morning when I had egg and bacon for my breakfast. I did have to cook it myself, but the eggs came from some very local lovely chickens who provided them for me, and that made me very, very happy. But then I remember being distinctly unhappy the day that I failed my driving test. That made me even more unhappy because Kerry, my wife, passed her test first time. And to be honest, she's never let me forget that. And that's the trouble with happiness. Happiness is determined by what happens around us. And during these weeks, have you discovered something that's given you joy? And have you discovered the things that only made you happy? Perhaps the things that have given you joy may be a family and friends, and we've begun to realise how important they are again for us. Maybe your garden, you've been enjoying that during this time. Maybe the Bible, as you've rediscovered something joyful about reading the Bible. And maybe we're going to begin to put down the things that are just temporary, the things that just make us happy for a moment. See, joy is much deeper and much more consistent, much longer lasting, much more certain. And joy is, I think, what we have to discover and to embrace, particularly at this time. As we start Easter week, Jesus is riding into Jerusalem on a donkey, and the crowd begin to joyfully praise God in loud voices. You'll see that in Luke 19:41. It's a lovely expression of feeling of what was happening at that time. But there was something deeper going on there that I think this crowd began to understand. See, no circumstances had changed for them in that particular moment. They were still under Roman occupation. Restrictions to their movement were still in place. Financial challenges from unfair taxation were still there. Shortages were there as well. The religious authorities were imposing additional requirements. But despite all of that, they expressed joy. Their singing came from a much deeper place that day as Jesus started his journey, a journey that only he knew at the time would lead to the cross. So what we can be assured of today and every day is that Jesus came to bring life, John 10:10. And life is joy. Maybe we're rediscovering that reality as we hear all the news of some of the tragedies that are happening around the world. Life is joy. But of course, the enemy, the thief, he wants to kill and destroy. He wants to take away that joy. Now, joy doesn't deny what is happening. It's real. But joy allows us to overcome even when the worst of circumstances are happening. And then we discover the fullness of life, the joy of following Jesus. That joy enables us to dig a bit deeper in our experience of who Jesus is and all he's done for us, and then to respond back to him for it. So what does Jesus following look like when joy is involved? How can I be joyful today? Well, I want to give you three things to remember that will help fire up your joy, whatever is happening around you today, so that you might know the depth of the experience of what Jesus wants to bring you. Firstly, remember who Jesus is. Remember his identity. Now, Jesus usually walked everywhere. He enjoyed walking everywhere. So why on this particular day did he choose a donkey to come into Jerusalem on? Well, I think because it then leaves us in no doubt as to his identity, who he is. Jesus was riding in from the east side of the city, from Bethany, the hometown of Lazarus. You might remember that Lazarus was the guy that he wept over and then released him from the dead in that amazing miracle. So this journey was starting from that place, but going to the place that was going to bring life to many more than just that one man, Lazarus. Now, meanwhile, on the other side of the city, on the west, from Caesarea, the seat of Pilate's power, the Roman occupiers, they marched in procession as well into Jerusalem, flexing their muscles in order to prevent any trouble happening, as this was Passover time and the city was jammed full of people. Jesus on a donkey, the Roman soldiers on horses, Jesus' followers waving palm branches, the Romans waving their victory banners. The Romans in their shining armour laying down a red carpet for Pilate on his war horse. Jesus' followers taking off their cloaks and laying them on the ground for the donkey. It's a crazy contrast, isn't it? But it shows us so much about who Jesus is. See, usually a Roman leader would only ride on a donkey into Rome when he was returning from a battle as a sign of victory. But the Romans came into Jerusalem ready for battle. And Jesus was the one riding in victory. Not from a war, of course, but from a decision to make his way to the cross. This time of Passover that this incident is set in was the remembrance of the exodus of the people of Israel who were set free from slavery from the Egyptian power by God's power. It was party time, taunting the Romans that God had set them free once before. It's a threat to Rome. So no wonder Rome wanted to generate fear. But Jesus was offering joy. That no matter what was going on in that moment, Jesus was here and they were going to celebrate. See, Jesus is coming as saviour. That's his identity. He's coming in victory because of the cross. Jesus is on your side. He's for you and he's with you. I mean, people had expected an all-conquering Messiah to come as a hero to overthrow the Roman authority, but Jesus came humble and on a donkey. See, he chose another path. In fact, the only pathway that would lead to long-lasting joy. He will, of course, come one day in power, but not on this day, not now, not yet. Of course, we're on the inside of the story, aren't we? But the crowd didn't know what was going to happen that week, but Jesus did. And he knew that joy would outlast all the emotions of that roller coaster ride over these next few days ahead of him. Because he'd come as God's solution to the biggest problem of all, which wasn't Rome. It was separation from God. And he comes as saviour, redeemer, sacrifice, with the joy of reconciliation, forgiveness, and freedom. And that's the second thing I want us to remember, that we not only remember who Jesus is, but we remember why he came. We remember his mission. The crowds were chanting from Psalm 118. You'll see that quoted in Luke 19, verse 38. But as in many quotes in the New Testament story, the writer doesn't use the whole song because he knows that the readers, the original readers, would be able to do that once he'd written the first few lines, because they just knew the rest of the song. Now, he quotes Psalm 118, verse 26, but this is how the psalm goes on. You might want to have a look at it. Verse 27 to 29 says, "The Lord is God, and he has made his light shine on us. With boughs in hand, join in the festal procession up to the horns of the altar. You are my God, and I will praise you. You are my God, and I will exalt you. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever." See, what the psalmist is saying is that this festival procession is going right to the very heart of God's purposes for his world, right to the altar, the place of atonement, the place of sacrifice for forgiveness. See, Jesus was heading to the cross. That's what this procession was all about. God's ultimate expression of love, his final solution to the biggest problem of all. That's why Jesus came, and that's what I think we need to remember in order to find joy in that experience. See, in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, the writer says, "For the joy that was set before him, Jesus endured the cross, scorning its shame, and he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." Now, the joy set before Jesus was you. And when we all remember that truth, the only response we can have is one of joy. So remember who Jesus is, remember why he came. And thirdly, remember what Jesus deserves. He deserves praise. There can be no other response than praise, to let joy overflow in the freedom of praise to him. See, Peter has a word for us at this time in his letter, written almost 2,000 years ago, but just as relevant, I think, and timely for today. So in talking to a church that long ago, a church who were going through difficult times and uncertainty, this is what he writes. You'll find it in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 7 to 9. He says this: "These have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, that it may result in praise, glory and honour when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. For you are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls." I love that phrase, an inexpressible and glorious joy. There's not enough in us to be joyful about what he's done, but that is the expression that he deserves, the praise, the joy that overflows from us for all he's done. See, there's something much bigger going on. Whatever our circumstances, whatever the time, however long this is going to go on for, there's something bigger going on, and nothing can stop or frustrate God's plans and purposes being worked out. Nothing can stop us from praising him. Nothing can take away the joy that is given when Jesus comes in. Because in verse 40 of our reading, Jesus says, if you stop praising, the stones are going to cry out with joy. And the joy comes in the morning. That joy comes after the weeping. That joy is the gift he wants to give us. And praise unlocks God's promise of joy for you today. In verse 41 of Luke 19, we read that Jesus wept over what he saw. He wept when Lazarus died because the solution to death hadn't yet happened. The cross was just around the corner. But as Jesus wept over Jerusalem, it was a reminder that he doesn't stand apart from all that is happening. He weeps because he knows that joy is just around the corner for all who will choose to welcome him in today. I wonder what the story will be that we will tell when this is all over. It can be a story of joy, and you can start to write it today. After Jesus spent his 40 days in isolation in the wilderness, facing temptations, Luke 4:14 says that he returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news about him spread throughout the whole countryside. And what we know about the life of Jesus is that everywhere he went, he brought joy. And all who follow him today can experience that same joy. In fact, that is his prayer for you, for me, for all who follow him. In John 15:11, he says this, "I have told you these things so that you will be filled with joy. Yes, your joy will overflow. In the unknown, in the uncertain, in the tears, in the turmoil, in the fun, in the opportunities, in the challenges, Jesus brings you joy." So will you welcome him? He is the Saviour. Will you receive what he came to bring? Forgiveness, freedom. And will you respond to his love for you today by joyfully praising him? I pray that that will be your experience and it will be a real expression of joy today. Let's pray. Paul, writing to the Romans, Romans 15:13 says, "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." Heavenly Father, do something new in each of us today. Bring us into that experience of joy. Joy because of Jesus and because of who he is and what he's done. May you find praise rising from our hearts today. We welcome you. Thank you, Jesus, for coming. And thank you that as we move through this Easter week, we too will be heading to the cross and to the empty tomb and rejoicing together at all you've done. Thank you, Jesus, in your name. Amen.